that even as the speaker comes, as he gets ready, I pray, God, the glory of God will be upon him. Upon him in such a way that when he speaks, he will be prophesied. He will speak him from your heart. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, as your word goes forth, your word says that it shall not return to you void, but it will accomplish that to which you're sending it. I pray in the name of Jesus that hearts will be touched. Somebody will be healed. Somebody will be delivered. Somebody will be saved, because you're right here. Your presence is right here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor Tony.
Back and says mission accomplished. Always. It never says mission failed. It never says, Houston, we have a problem. Never says that. It always comes back and says mission accomplished. His words shall not return unto him void. And I pray that as we hear the word of God now, that God's word will indeed be planted deeply within our hearts, within our spirits, in Jesus' name. Stand with me, please, in John chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're going to read it from verse 1 to verse 13. John chapter 1. Verse 1 to verse 13. Are we all there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to be a witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The title of today's message is The Right to Become Children. You know, there are things we go through in life, in the natural, that can help us understand what goes on to in the spiritual. For example, if you are the member of a club, normally a club membership gives you certain benefits. Benefits normally which are not given to those who are non-members. Or it could be that non-members could have those benefits, but they would have to pay a lot more. But the fact that you are a member of the club, for example, it could be exclusive access, it could be premium services, all kinds of things. Those of you who travel frequently, for example, and you have air miles, you know, sometimes you have air miles and you can use air miles to actually redeem yourself and get another ticket. Sometimes it's useful, sometimes it's useless. I've personally not found air miles to be terribly helpful, but that's another thing. But sometimes, you know, having those things gives you some certain benefits which are not accrued or which are not given to other people. However, in order for you to receive these benefits, you have to, if you like, be the member of the club. If you're outside, these benefits do not accrue to you. We see a parallel in the spiritual, where we who are called to be children of God, we who are called by God, you know, don't worry, he's going to be a preacher one day, trust me. You know, don't worry about that, you know. He's starting off his own, no problem, yeah. Learn from daddy, but just be better than daddy, that's all I'm going to say. Yes, you see, we could be members of a club. When God has called us now into his family, into his kingdom, there are benefits, of course, people, which accrue to us. But the question is this, do we know what they are? We live in a day and age where, you know, ignorance can be very dangerous to us. The benefits that could accrue to you, the things which are entitled for you to do, if you are not aware of the benefits that accrue to you, you could lose out on so much. And sometimes, yes, it's going to be someone who sits you down and tells you, well, because of your condition, because of your family history, or what have you going on, you're entitled to this, that, and the other. And then you make the process of trying to apply for all these benefits which accrue to you. But the question is this, if you did not know that you had all these benefits, you could be living a life void of all these things. You could be living a life where you're not reaching the potential, the level where you should rise to, just because you were not aware of them. But I want to tell you, us people of God, it's one thing to know what we're entitled to. It's another thing to actually claim it. Are you with me? Companies these days, sometimes they give you certain benefits. Like, for example, when you're getting married. I remember when I was married, my lovely wife. She's gorgeous, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Praise the Lord. When we were getting married, you see, the place where I was working, they give you extra benefits. Is she blushing? They give you extra benefits or an extra day off work just because you're getting married. Or if you're moving a house, they give you an extra day off work, you know. It's just part of the benefits which they give. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to know that they do that. It's another thing for you to actually claim it. Just knowing it is not enough. You with me? If I was to know, oh, look, I'm getting married, therefore they're going to give me some extra time off, and I just sit down and fold my hands, will I get that benefit? But I have to do something. Now that I'm armed with this knowledge, this information, I have to do something now to claim what is now rightfully mine. Yeah. You see, people, that is where we need to move away from ignorance. At times as Christians, we don't know who we are in God. We don't know the benefits, the blessings that we have. And we're walking around in ignorance. And sometimes that could be very dangerous for us. We need to know who we are in God. We need to know, therefore, because of who we are in God, we need to know what, therefore, we are entitled to, what we can claim, what our rights are, what our benefits are.
Yeah. Yes. That's right.
If not, we're just walking around, just living, but not living the life that God wants us to live.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus came, he said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. So there is something more that God has for you, not just to be living and walking around. There's more that God has for each and every one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn to your neighbor, say, God has more for you. Come on, tell them, God has more for you. But we need to go out there, we need to claim it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
But how do we claim it if we don't know what it is?
Yeah. How do we claim it if we're living in ignorance? Yeah.
Sorry, that was me. Mike, behave yourself. How can we claim it if we're living in ignorance?
God would come to us, I believe, by his Spirit,
and would reveal to us, therefore, what we need to do. But people, God has told us what we need to do. It's now left for you and me to actually do it. Hello? It's now left for you and me to actually do what? When God spoke to Moses, when they were about to cross the Red Sea, and the children of Israel, Moses crying out to God, what did God say to Moses? Why are you crying out to me? That rod that you have, stretch it over the sea, and then the sea will pass. Could God have done it by himself? Yes, of course he could. After all, it was his power that Moses used anyway. But the point is this, God gave Moses a specific job to do. Now, if Moses had not done what he did, would the Red Sea have parted?
No.
Now, if the Red Sea had not parted, would that have been God's fault?
No.
There you go. So we need to do what God has called us to do with the power that he has given unto us. In the passage that we have read, verse 12 is the verse that I'm focusing on. It says, to them that received him, he gave the right to become children of God. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But those who did receive him, he gave them the rights. Your version might say the power, and we're going to come to that word later on. He gave them the right or the power to become children of God. First point is this, they received him. Okay? That is the condition, people of God. There is a condition, you see, joining a club has its conditions of membership. There is a condition, therefore, that we have, that is laid down in this passage, to those that received him. They're the ones who have the right, the power, to become the sons of God. Which therefore begs the question, how do we receive him? Let me say this. When we're talking about receiving God, we need to go beyond believing God.
That's right.
Explain what I mean. James chapter 4 says this. You believe in God, you do well. Guess what? Even the demons believe and tremble.
Yes.
Remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? Paul was casting out demons. And these people were so excited about it, they wanted to get in the act as well. They saw this man who had a demon. And they said, we cast you out in the name of Paul, whom Jesus preaches. It's a pity they couldn't say, in the name of Jesus, whom I preach. They had to try and use someone else. What did the man with the demon say? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. So the demon knew who Jesus was. So, okay, so if you know who Jesus is, what's the difference then between you and the demons then? We need to move beyond that, people of God. It's not just believing God. It's receiving him. It's accepting him. It's acknowledging that he's Lord and Savior over your life. The demons know who Jesus is, but they will not bow right now to Jesus Christ. But you know what the Bible tells us? At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There comes a time when even the demons will bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. There comes a time when principalities and powers will have no choice but to bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. They don't want to accept him as Lord, but God calls us to accept him as the Lord and Savior, the everything over our lives. And people, that goes beyond just believing who God is. You've received him. In other words, you say, let not my will, but your will be done. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Thy kingdom come. Come on, help me out here. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we submit to the authority of this king, when we submit to the commands of this king, when we are obeying and faithfully following him, that is when we receive him. I like one thing that Sister Marcia Goodie said during the prayer retreats, and it's something interesting enough. I was so excited when she said it because it's something that I've been praying myself for a while. That sometimes when you pray, all you can just say is, Lord, help me. You know what? Words fail you. And all you can just end up saying is, Lord, help me. There comes a time, people, when we need to do that. We need to cry to God, Lord, help me. Help me to know you, to serve you, to follow you as Lord. Help me to acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help me to submit to your commands. Help me to know that there is none other but you. There is no other King, no other God, no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about receiving him, we are receiving him as his word tells us. Because even the Muslims who say that they believe in Jesus, They will tell you that he's some holy prophet. Even the Jews would say that. But the difference is this. They don't believe that he's Messiah. They don't believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They don't believe that he's the only Savior. They don't believe that he's the only way to heaven. I am the way, not one of the ways. The truth, not one of the truths. And the life. Jesus made it absolute. I am the way. No one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
He has very clearly and stated, very clearly, unmistakably stated his position, who he is. And therefore, if we are to approach the Father, we have no other choice but to go through him.
Amen.
No one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father but by me. No one can come to the Father except the Son draws him. So when we talk about receiving him, we're talking about therefore accepting his lordship over our life. We're talking about accepting who he is over us. We're talking about, yes, people saying, I abandon my will, O God, to you. Song we sing, my Jesus, I love you. I love you, O mine. To thee, all the pleasures of sin, I resign. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I surrender all, not 99%, not 75%. I surrender, and all means all. As many as received him. And what's interesting, and perhaps even sad and painful, it says in this passage that he came unto his own. Jesus reveals himself to his own people, but the very people who were, if you like, his own, part of his clan, where he came from, these are the ones who did not receive him. Because they just thought, oh yeah, he's one of those prophets. After all, you know, remember the time when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah or you're Isaiah or you're one of those prophets. That's who they thought he was. People, until and unless you accept and you receive him as Lord over your life, you have not received him.
That's true.
Unless you accept that he is the only way, you have not received him. Unless you acknowledge that there is no plan B.
No, that's right.
You have not received him. Unless you absolutely, totally say, God, I'm going to follow you. And listen, we live in an age, of course, where we struggle in life. Paul the Apostle mentioned it about his struggles where he wants to do good, but he finds himself doing evil. Absolutely, we struggle, and you know, no one's questioning that or doubting that, but you know what, we can always turn back to him. He is faithful and he will restore us. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, there is hope for those who are down. There is hope for those who have been crushed. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Listen, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. Come on, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Whatever the situation you found yourself in, whatever you've done in this life, there is hope for you. The thief on the cross. Two thieves on the cross. One of them just made fun of Jesus. If the other said, God, save us. What are you doing there? The other one said, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. He knew he had done wrong because he said, we are in this condemnation rightly. That's what the thief said. But instead of Jesus, he has done no wrong. The thief was the first person to benefit from Calvary. Because he knew who this Jesus was. When you come in your kingdom, remember me. He was a thief. He wasn't a righteous person when he said that. He wasn't a holy man when he said that. A thief. In some countries, thieves are lynched. They're beaten. They're stoned to death. They're burnt to death. Yet this thief could come to God and say, remember me. And Jesus says, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I want to tell you, people of God, that if God could save the thief on the cross, there is no one here he cannot save.
Yes, amen.
If God could bless the thief on the cross with eternal life, there is no one here he cannot bless.
That's right.
So don't you for a second even think that, oh, God cannot save me. God cannot hear my cry. Don't you for a second think that. And if that's in your mind, if that's in your heart, I pray God touches you even right now in the name of Jesus, wherever you're sitting. In fact, right now, just bow your heads with me, people of God. Bow your heads. If you know right now that you've done something, you feel, oh, how can God forgive me? Just raise your hands where you are. Come on, let's do this right now. We're not going to waste time. If you think that you've done something, how can God forgive me of this terrible thing I've done? Raise your hand where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, for these hands that are raised, please, all heads bowed, please, thank you very much. For these hands which are raised, Lord, I pray they will know your forgiveness. They will know your restoration. They will know your salvation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. They will know, Lord God, that there's nothing they've done that you cannot save them from. They will know that there's nothing they've done that you cannot bring them out of, in the name of Jesus. Lord, do it right now to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God can do it. He's a faithful God. Yeah. He is Christ. He is Emmanuel. Yeah. God with us.
Hallelujah.
I love that. God with us. It is often said that the church is not the building, isn't it? We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Because where we go, we carry Christ with us. Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
We don't just have to go to some special place. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was preaching to the Samaritan woman, she was under the impression that there are certain places where you have to go and worship God. And he made her realize, look, woman, there's going to come a time when even on this high mountain, you're not going to worship the Father. God is spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth, because the Father seeks worshippers. Those who will worship him, wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself, Christ is with you. If truly you have received him. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. I want to look at that word. In interesting words, he gave them power, or your version might say, give them the rights to become the sons of God. In the Greek, still a little bit Greek right now. In the Greek, that word is exousia. There are a number of words in Greek which translated into English are power. This is one of them, exousia. And exousia is actually power that is derived from authority. Your day will come, son, don't you worry. I know you're eager. It will come. Exousia is power that is derived from authority. In other words, what gives you the power is the authority you have. Are you with me? That's why some versions say he gave them the power. It's the same verse, same word that we find in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, all power or all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. It's the same word we find in Luke chapter 10, where when Jesus sent the 70 out, when they return, he says, I give you authority or power over unclean spirits, over snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The point with this word is this. It is power that comes from authority. A higher power has given you authority. That authority gives you power that you can then use. Now, had this higher power not given you the authority, you wouldn't be able to use the power. Are you with me?
Yeah.
A good example is this. A police officer has the power of arrest. It doesn't matter whether the officer is male or female, shorter than you, taller than you, older than you, younger than you. That's totally irrelevant. The relevance is that they've gone through their training, they've done all that they need to do, and when they put on that uniform, when they have that badge, it gives them the power to arrest those who are doing wrong. An armed police officer, under certain circumstances, has the right to deploy, to use his firearm. If you go out there carrying a firearm, you're going to go down to prison for a very long time.
Mm, that's
But the place where I work in central London, we see armed police officers, you know, quite so often. They're carrying their guns, they've got the guns in their holster, what have you. They have the authority to use those firearms. They've gone through the training, they've gone through all the process that is needed for them to do it. And then, given the right circumstances, they have the right to take out that firearm and, when necessary, shoot it. You with me? If they do it anyhow or any time, they could be in trouble. If you try and use a firearm when you don't have the authority, you could be in trouble. The point is this: they have been given the authority to use it, and therefore they use it in accordance with that authority. Now, this verse tells us that those who believe him, they've been given the power or the authority, the right to become children of God. The moment you accept and you receive God as your Lord and Savior, there's an authority from heaven placed upon you.
Amen.
There's an authority from heaven placed upon you. That authority, therefore, gives you power that you can use. And Jesus, therefore, as I said in Luke chapter 10, he told those disciples, "I give you authority over unclean spirits, over snakes, over scorpions. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." People, we need to know the rights that we have as children of God. We need to know the authority that we have. And the question, therefore, is once we know that authority and we know the power in that authority, are we using it? The power to live a holy life. The power that the enemy is under our feet. The power that we can go out there and do the work that God has called us to do. We're going out there doing it in the name of Jesus, because it's his name that gives us that authority. That's why it says in Matthew chapter 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." He's now therefore sent out his disciples to go out there and do that work. He's authorized them to do it. So as children of God, we are authorized by our Heavenly Father to go out there and do the work that he's called us to do. But the point is this, as I said earlier on, it's those who have received him who have that power. Are you with me? It's those who have received him who have that authority. The seven sons of Sceva, their problem was this: they hadn't yet received him. What they were trying to do was just show business, just show off. I don't know if you've ever seen at times preachers on TV, and there was a time when I saw one preacher, I can't remember who he was, which is actually good anyway, and they're laying hands on people, and people are just falling down left, right, and centre, and they just show off with it, and the cameraman was filming him, and then he laid hands on the cameraman fell down. He laid hands on this person fell down, and it was just all show off. And you get so irritated and so annoyed when you see people like that, just really making a mockery of the whole thing. That is not what God has called us to do, people of God. Not to misuse the authority and the power that he has given us, but to use it in him to do what is right. And listen, because the authority comes from him, whatever we're doing, the focus must always be given to him.
Amen.
It's not about you. Hello? It's not about you, it's all about him, because he's the one who has given you that authority. When the disciples came back, they said, "Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They acknowledged that if it wasn't for the name of Jesus, those demons would not flee. They acknowledged that if it wasn't for Jesus, they wouldn't be able to do what they did. The focus always must be given back to God, because he's the one who has given us the authority, the power to do what we are doing. Left to us, it was down to just we ourselves. There is no way how we could face any demon, any host of hell. We do not have the power. We do not have the ability, because we are fallen creatures. But Christ has redeemed us. He's raised us up. And as he's raised us up to make a seat with him, he's given us the authority that we need, therefore, to triumph over the host of hell. But the focus always is him. So it's thank you, Father, for what you have done. Thank you for this authority that you have given unto me. Thank you that I can be called, that I am now a child, a son and daughter of the Most High God. Thank you that I can step. My Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. The creator of heaven and earth. The ancient of days. The one who never grows tired nor weary. Our help is in the help is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is the one who gives us the rights.
Yes.
the exousia, the power, the authority to do his work.
Which therefore begs the question, if you're outside his will, if you haven't accepted him, if you're not, if he's not your Lord and Savior, what authority? Thank you, Pastor Brian, you're powerless. What authority do you have? What power have you got? What rights have you got to command any demon? In fact, you better not even try, because the demon will probably try and slap you or something like that. Well, look at what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. The man beats them and they were naked and they ran away bleeding. So if you don't have the authority in the name of Jesus, don't try it. End up embarrassing yourself. You're powerless. You don't have the authority. But with God, what did the Apostle Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who gives me the strength, the ability to do his will. So people of God, are we walking around in the knowledge, in the power that God has given unto us? Are we moving in his will? And let me tell you something. You know, sometimes in church we have this mentality, if that's the right words, that this is only for, this moving in the spirits is only for a certain group of people. Come on, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It is for each and every one of us. You see, listen, God is not a respecter of persons. Listen, I am not special because I'm a pastor. Pastor Brian is not special because he's a pastor. That is not the case. Please, take that out of your mind, if ever it is in your mind. There is nothing special about us. We are just like you. We are sinners saved by grace. That God has bestowed his power upon us. God has bestowed his love upon us, just like you. There is nothing, listen, this is just skin. There's nothing special about me because I'm a pastor, okay? There's nothing extraordinary about me that you can't do. Let me tell you something. Yeah? Understand that. Yes, God calls and God equips. I understand that. Yeah? But I'm just as human as you. Hello? I'm not superhuman.
No.
Thank you, Snubson. Thank you for that confirmation. Please. Don't look at someone and think, oh, well, God has done it for them, and can he do it for me? Yes, he can!
Yes,
amen.
We need to come to a place where we rid ourselves of unbelief, where we rid ourselves of doubt, where we rid ourselves of thinking that we're worth less. When God tells us that you are great in his hands. You're an important tool in his hands because he's giving you the right. He's giving you the power, the authority. But people, I'm going to conclude in a minute. Are you using the authority that has been given to you? That's the question. As I conclude this message, are you using the authority God has given to you? Are there times when you wonder what's going on in my life, when what you need to do is that you need to speak over that situation in the name of Jesus? You need to do what Jesus did, where you speak to wind and waves and you say, peace, be still. Is perhaps that what you need to do? Where you need to speak to that situation and you say, be silent at the mention of the name of Jesus. Where you speak into your life when things are going haywire and you say, look, I am a child of the King. I am a child of the Most High. I come to you therefore with the authority of the Most High God. I love what David said when he faced the Philistine. He said, you come to me with sword, with spear, with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That, people of God, was what made the difference. David spoke into that situation. Yes, he acknowledged the enemy and what he had, but what he did that was even better was he acknowledged what he had, the name of the Lord of hosts. Yeah, you come with your spear, you come with your javelin, you come with all that you have.
Yeah.
Guess what? I've got something greater.
Yeah.
I've got something bigger and better.
Yeah.
I've got something that will overcome.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I will not rely on my bow, nor will my sword save me. He says, in God we boast all day long.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's
Come on, people of God, we need to rise up in faith. We need to rise up with the authority that God has given us and use it. Rise up in faith and claim the victory. Rise up in faith and know what God has for you. He's giving you that authority. Use it. He's giving you that power. Use it. He's giving you what you need. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, use it in the name of Jesus.
Paul was not boasting when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was making a statement of facts. Through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes. The focus always is that what Christ has done, who Christ is in my life. That is the focus.
Yes.
And we're not trivializing things here. We're not saying that people don't go through rough and tough times. In fact, if we didn't go through rough and tough times, we wouldn't need the strength anyway.
That's right. That's true.
If we weren't going through challenging times, we wouldn't need that strength. The Old Testament gives us, if you like, those examples of things. When Elijah ran away from Jezebel, the angel had to wake him up and say, rise and eat, Elijah, or the journey will be too much for you. There were times, yes, when we face so much opposition, but hey, God gives us the victory. And that is why we are people that we boast in the Lord. I love that. We are people, we should boast in the Lord. The psalmist says, my soul will make his boast in the Lord. We need to start boasting, people of God.
Yes.
We need to start boasting and proclaiming, not who we are, but who he is. We need to start saying, God has done this in my life. God has changed me. God has transformed me. I was a mess. I was a wreck. Now look at what God has done. People of God, come and see what God has done to me. Come and see how God has changed me. Come and see how God has lifted me up. That was Lord, I shield for me my glory and the lift up of my head. See how God has lifted me up, has raised me up. I was on the dump heap before. Now see where I am. But for the grace of God, where would I be? But for his goodness, but for his kindness, what position would I be in?
That's right. That's true.
We're rising up in faith. We're making that declaration. And we're saying, yes, we are using the authority that has been given to us.
Amen.
People, we need to start speaking and commanding demons. I'm not saying have a conversation with them. Oh, hi, demon, how are you? How was your day? No, I'm not saying that. You command them to flee in the name of Jesus. You tell them, look, you have no right to interfere with me. You have no right to be here. You have no right to mess up my life or my family. We just speak into situations in the name of Jesus as we pray. People, I don't know about you, but I'm fed up of hearing about stabbings on the news all the time. I'm fed up about hearing that some young person maybe was going somewhere or perhaps was in the wrong postcode. And then they got stabbed or shot. I'm fed up of hearing this. People of God, we need to speak into situations. Not just over our children, but over our community, over the way we live. We need to speak into situations where we see things going on which are wrong. Because we have the authority to do it. Let me challenge us as individuals, as a family, as families, as a church. Are we using the authority that God has given us? Because there are times when we can cry out to God and say, God, have you done this? You haven't done this. You haven't done that. When all God is saying to us is, use what I've given you. That's all God is saying to us. Use what I've given you. Why are you crying out to me when I've given you what you need? When I've given you the tools to do what you want to do? My prayer is that God will open our eyes. God will give us that wisdom to use this authority and to use it rightly. But remember, people of God, going back to what we said, it is those who have received him. They're the ones that have this authority. Have you received him? If the answer is no, why don't you receive him today? Why don't you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior today? Can I have the musicians, please? And if you have received him, are you using the authority that you have? The exousia. This authority that the King of Kings has given you, are you using it? Or is it just lying dormant? Is Is it just lying untapped? And then you wonder what's going on. And then you start blaming God. God hasn't come through for me. When in fact he has, but the tool that he's given you is just lying there. Oh, hallelujah. I pray we move in revelation. I pray we move in wisdom. Let's rise to our feet, please. Oh, hallelujah.
Those who received him. That's the condition, people of God. That is the condition that must be met. There are no shortcuts. There's no way around it. That is it. Those who received him.
With our heads bowed, is there anyone who wants to accept the Lord as the Lord and Savior right now? You haven't done it. If that's you, please just raise your hands kindly where you are. You don't know him as Lord and Savior. You don't know him as your everything, as your all in all. If that's you, please raise your hands. Does that mean everyone here has received it? If that is the case, then praise God. But is it? Is there someone here who doesn't know him, who hasn't received him yet, who wants to receive him? Jesus. Okay, right now where you are, I want you to pray for yourself. And this is now you praying for yourself. You're going to say, Lord, help me to use the authority that you've given unto me. And truly as you say you have received him, then he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. Lord, help me to use the authority that you have given me. That in your name, I will speak to situations and situations will change. In your name, oh God, I will speak into circumstances. Circumstances will change. Up in me that when the Philistine comes, however great, however mighty he looks, I will say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you with the authority in the name of Jesus.
Job, everything to do with me, Jesus is Lord. Your sickness, Jesus is Lord. That need that you have, Jesus is Lord. Father,
Father, this day we acknowledge who you are over our lives. We acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore we speak into situations and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what? If there's a need that you want God to meet for you, just come out right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray for you. And the prayer is just simply this, that Jesus is Lord over that situation. Come on, just quickly now. Just come on. If you know that there's a need that you're looking to God for, there's something bothering you, something that is, if you like, chasing you, just come out now. We're going to pray for you. The simple prayer is that Jesus is Lord over that situation. Because at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It means that thing, therefore, troubling you will bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. It means that trouble you have will bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, we're going to speak by faith and just say to that situation, Jesus Christ is Lord.